All right, so here we are live over the internet through BBS Radio. Good evening to all of you. Good evening whenever you listen to this, wherever you are with time zone. Thank you for joining in. And tonight we have the You Got Questions, We Have Answers call, where Terry Brown will answer some questions from audience who have been submitted to win. Again, thank you all for being here. As usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, and today it is Wednesday, September the 14th, 2016. I welcome all those that just joined in here in the last minute. Thank you so much for being here. Your name and location.
This is Roger in Austin.
Roger, I welcome you back. How are you?
Just great. Thank you.
All right. Who else?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Ah, it's Prudence in Farmington Hills, Michigan.
Welcome. How are you doing, Prudence?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
More people have joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please. Name a location.
No.
No. My name is no. My number is no. Vin, I welcome you.
Thank you. I just want to play Amazing Grace.
Do you want to?
No.
How about some Dead Kennedys?
Better watch yourself, young man.
Yes, I guess I hear Chris, and I believe that Raiden's here as well.
Yeah, how you doing, Hush?
Good, good.
Good, man.
If Raiden is here, we have to say positive greetings.
Positive greetings, Mr. Free.
Thank you. You don't have to say it. I could have just said it. That is Raiden's unique way of saying hello.
There was somebody on the radio years ago in Santa Barbara who said every time somebody called, said, have a no instead of hello.
Have a no instead of hello?
Heaven instead of hell.
Well,
did you used to live in Santa Barbara Heights?
I used to live in the Carpinteria, yes.
Oh, I went to
and Summerlin and Thousand Oaks. No, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. All right. I welcome again all those that are here listening through BBS Radio. I am going to turn the ding off.
Wow, look at the moon.
All right, Terry, I believe you're here, right? Terry Brown.
Right, I'm here.
Fantastic, hey. Terry. How are you, Terry?
I'm good.
Do you feel loved?
I'm getting there.
All right.
Oh, my God. You're a leader. You better feel loved.
Hey, all of us here, let us send in our thoughts some positive, beautiful love light to Terry right now.
Oh, easy.
May you have a wonderful night, Terry. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Win to you as well. I greatly appreciate it.
Win to you too, guys. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wait, do you want to keep the line open, or can I mute the lines?
No, I think. Well, let me ask a question, okay? How many of you guys enjoyed the Monday show?
I loved it. Well, right up my alley, man. Only good for the last 6 minutes, which I could understand. The rest of it is just too much noise.
However, the quality of the material was great.
Yeah. I agree. The quality of the call itself, I mean, just because you couldn't hear I couldn't understand most of it.
So, John, you need to wait until you've heard the call again, the replay, because you're going to answer.
The problem is that there's, like I said, I couldn't really understand almost any of it because there was just too much static.
Yeah. It's in the Akashic Records for sure.
So I got to wait until the Akashic Records read them before you can find out what the call is about.
I don't know, Vin. Can you do a rerun?
Yeah, we had to do some because that was the worst quality I've ever heard of. You know, but the content was really awesome, I'm sure. But
it was just their equipment was not up to par or whatever. But
it was just his phone, I guess. That's what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we maybe do a retake maybe or something?
So when you were able, to re-record off.
Rehash some of the same material because I just there was just too much static. I don't know what to say.
Well, John, you barely understand things when they're right in front of you.
When I don't think that, where do you get that from, actually?
It comes from my my little thing that wants to provoke you.
Haha. Actually, your email today that you sent out, this is actually awesome. You know, do you realize that you may actually be on her list just for sending this out?
Thank you, John. You made my day.
That's how good this is. You may actually be on her list now.
Good.
God, this is unbelievable.
All right. Well, all right, guys. Anybody didn't like the Monday call? No one's going to say it if they didn't. Anyone didn't understand it?
Well, I agree with John. It was very difficult to understand.
Yeah.
The material itself is very fascinating.
The content was awesome, of course.
I want more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was speaking very fast and that was the problem. But I don't know for sure.
Sasha? Sasha was speaking fast.
Sasha was speaking too fast for me.
Well, I do want to point out one thing.
How many people would like to hear a repeat on Monday's call, maybe next Monday?
Well, you know what? I'm remixing it, so I'll get some of the volume louder so it's easy to understand, okay?
Yeah, but we could we ask them if they could try a different phone as well, or?
Yeah, because that phone was just ridiculous.
Whatever they did, that toward the end there, it started working after that, though.
Mm-hmm. They did something, I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. She turned off her phone or something like that.
You know, I think it was Anki was involved over here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Well, you know what? I'll make some comments on that, but let's get recorded and mute everybody, okay?
All right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
9:14.
This conference is being recorded.
This is September 14th, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Sedona and everybody everywhere, Hayes in Magalia, and special greetings to everyone listening on the internet. And I got a lot of emails about our Monday call, in spite of the fact that there was some of it was hard to understand due to technical reasons. It was a topic that I have broached in the past one or two times. Because I've done a lot of research on this. And one of the world's experts on this topic is a guy that I had on Monday. His name is Sasha Lesson. And if you didn't listen to the call, you should, even if it's hard to understand. Because we live in a world where it's not easy to figure out what's going on. Every one of us on this call and off this call has been subject to intense programming our entire lives. And it has to do with keeping us under control, keeping us contracted, keeping us in the dark, and keeping us essentially slaves. You don't realize that you're slaves, but we are. Even when we're not, even I have been subject to it, okay? But I have worked overtime to figure out what's really going on. And even with my own experience of talking to our sources, I constantly look for correspondences to validate the things they say to us. I don't say believe them just because they say it, although thus far they have got an incredibly good track record and in most cases have passed my own independent investigations about certain controversial topics. And I don't go ask them. You know, they are not at my beck and call to ask questions about everything I might be curious about. As you know, even on our call Wednesdays, they bend over backwards to not disempower us. When you ask questions, and we would like to give up our power, and I don't blame you. There's part of us that believes that if we follow the right star, if the right person tells us what to do, if we find the perfect spiritual master on this planet, all our woes will be over, okay? And even Jesus didn't begin to cause all our woes to be over, although he gave some great guidelines. So when we have the situation where everyone is programmed, including Sasha, including me, including you, you can never just believe anything that anyone says without doing your own due diligence, or unless they sufficiently, absolutely prove it to you, okay? And otherwise, the way what I call the negative works is they latch on to anything that they can to get your attention. They latch on to giving you hope because everybody wants hope. Everyone wants to know everything's under control. Everyone wants to know we are coming into a new age and the world's going to be filled with love. Everyone wants to know that the negative elite is going to be destroyed and they have no more power anymore. And they can use all those hooks to grab your attention and disable you or mislead you. You know, the one thing that humanity has in its potential that can change this planet, because it's humanity that has to change the planet, not the Elohim, not the Ra group. Us, we are the solution. And the only way we can do that is, first of all, to actually know what's going on, not be deluded by the news. Second of all, to learn how to access our own creative potentials. And we do that as a group, I believe, every Sunday. We access our creative potentials. And we are actually creating shifts by our abilities to do that. And it's not me that does it. It's us that does it. I don't have the power to do it. But, you know, you guys have learned over the time we've been spending together to somewhat trust us. Between Terry and I, we have a pretty good system of building some credibility for what we do. Between feeling energies, between breakthrough information. And, you know, Sasha does not have all the resources that I have. Although he is a, how would I say it? He is a scholar. He's a PhD. He has studied things. And he has done immense, immense work at uncovering certain aspects of truth. And most of what he has said, I have studied, most of it. And some of what he said, I wasn't sure that I agreed with. And I had to tell him, and he had to say, well, I don't know if this is true. I had to, you know, when we talk about the Anunnaki, when we talk about humans being a offspring of Anunnaki genetics, there's quite a bit of evidence that that's true. And not just from the translations of Zachariah Sitchin. One person that very much impacted me, and if you're interested in pursuing this, is Michael Tellinger. And Michael Tellinger lives in South Africa. And he went on the quest of looking for evidence of the Anunnaki, okay? And he found landing strips. He found caves where mining was done that no one had found. And he put it all together and wrote his own book, which I met Michael Tellinger. He gave a talk, an all-day talk in Sedona. Terry and I went to breakfast with Michael Tellinger and his wife, and we had pretty good affinity. And his work is fairly impressive because it's not based on translations of something. His work based on physical evidence where he has the photos of things that he discovered in his book, and puts together his own history of the Anunnaki. When you go out and study and search on all the different things of the Anunnaki on the internet, you come up with different things. And there's some people that paint Enki as just as bad as Enlil. And that there's other people that exalt Enki as like the real creator of humankind, okay? And, you know, I think that Enki was fairly positive, okay? And he had his own way of doing it, and it seems like the Anunnaki were fairly human, okay? They were in bodies like ours. And I still don't have the answer to how they used the word Elohim and where they got that word to use for the people, because that's, as far as I know, when Elohim is used in the Bible, and in fact, most of the Old Testament is from the Anunnaki. But we have been asking questions about it for quite some time, Terry and I, and, you know, I have a track record on many of their answers on different things. and not just from the translations of Zachariah Sitchin, but you ought to look up the translations to see what's there and let it resonate. And this is kind of important for two reasons, two main reasons. And one reason is that it gives a much more logical explanation for how the current concept of God in consensus reality got established. And it also explains many of us that are listening to these calls are somewhat advanced, have quite a few talents and potentials, and some of you actually may come from direct lineage to the Anunnaki. And when I say direct, I'm not sure I know exactly what that means. Like, does it mean father, son from Anunnaki families into the present time? It might be. Does it mean you were an Anunnaki and you're an Anunnaki soul that came in to occupy a human body? It might be. But from my perceptions, people that come from the Enki side of the Anunnaki have this tremendous desire to contribute to this realm. And they can't make their lives work unless they're doing that. Some of you on this line fit that characterization. And it's because the Anunnaki, in creating humans, and particularly Enki, in getting sexually involved with this creation, which most everyone agrees that was true, that Enki, in getting sexually involved with the creation, ended up getting into a agreement, karmically, I would suppose, to help liberate the creation, okay? To help liberate the creation that he was responsible for and to bring them back to Godhead. And it was very interesting because as I studied Enki and Enlil, me, there were indications that Enki had come back various times and fulfilled various exalted positions in history. But it wasn't known that he was Enki. He was, for example, there is a being by the name of Ptah. And Ptah was in Egypt and was one of the gods of Egypt. And there was a book I have read years ago called Initiation, where the woman was remembering her life in Egypt and was initiated by Ptah. And there was a woman in Australia, Jenny, can't remember her last name, Jenny King, I'm not sure. She was channeling Ptah, okay? And there were some other people who Enki was, maybe in India, maybe the creator of yoga, all right? And Enlil supposedly had come back and was involved in martial arts and various roles of combative interface amongst humans. Now, I don't know if Sasha had gone so far as to discover that, and I don't know if that's true or if it's not true. But I'll tell you one interesting thing. If you study our material, when Daphne first started channeling, the first being that spoke to us identified itself by the name of Ptah. And at that time, I had no idea about Enki, Enlil, Anunnaki, nothing. Okay? But Ptah was very wise, very caring, and I remember him saying he had a long-term association with Daphne. And later, I asked about, later the Elohim came in, and they said that Ptah was an emissary for them. And then I asked questions about the difference between Ptah and the Elohim, and they said Ptah was like an individuated soul, and the Elohim was a group energy, okay? And that there were areas where Ptah had wisdom that was closer to this realm. So I'm just telling you, I don't have all the answers. I'm just telling you all the data that passed through my scrutiny that said I better look at this. And it wasn't until quite some time later that I learned that Ptah supposedly, I can't say this is true, supposedly was one of the names of Enki. And so when I had Sasha on, he is obviously doing a lot of research and constantly studying on the internet. And he was quoting David Wilcock and Corey Good, who I'm not going to quote. I don't trust that, okay? I have reasons not to trust it. And I don't want to explain those reasons here, but it's not because I'm glad David's out there. I mean, it's no competition on my part. But in my opinion, he was being set up to be a channel and to bring through the Ra group in a big way. And when the book came out, he made the decision he didn't want to do that. You see, there's free will down here. Daphne made the decision she didn't want to do what she was doing. And David took a whole different path at that point. And as part of that path, in one of his channelings, and this is in the book, David approved everything that went in the book. We were working closely to get that book out. And if anything felt wrong to him, he would ask me to strike it. So in the book, there's this thing from supposedly the Rock Group. David, get your ego out of the way. Let our messages come through. We can stop disasters on your planet. And I do believe they were setting Edgar Cayce up to come back in this period of time so that he could be a liberator of the world, potentially. And it seems to me, you know, the jury is still out. The jury, you know, David is expressing himself with a focus on ET aliens and disclosure, et cetera, et cetera. And he is not putting forth anything to do with Ra messages. And he's not setting the stage, as I've come to understand it, for someone who, if you go back to the Carla Rucker sessions, at the beginning they said the Ra group needed a group to hold the energy, to bring them in. And they've looked for a long time for a group that they could trust. And of course, there was a group between Don Elkins, Jim McCarty, and Carla. And a group soul has such a big energy that one person can't anchor it by themselves. And David, Edgar Cayce, had a group energy around him. He had his wife, his stenographer, and a group of people who were monitoring his sessions to see if anything negative came through. And David never set that up. And to my knowledge, he's never set it up. And I certainly didn't set it up at the time I was talking to him. And he was, it's like he and I were having a group energy, and that was helping to hold the space. And when he was dedicated to the group of people paying attention to him on his website at the time, and that helped hold the space. And once the book came out, you know, he wasn't holding the space for that. And he constantly takes advantage of this Edgar Cayce background and makes constantly wrong assessments, wrong predictions. And he does it very boldly and blatantly. And a lot of people go for it because he used to be Edgar Cayce. And yet it doesn't come about. So you, when you're quoting Edgar Cayce or David Wilcock and saying this is true, I'm not sure it is. And so I have to talk more with Sasha about these things before I want to bring him on, because he tends to say things like they're true, and he doesn't leave room for doubt. When I questioned him on it, he said, no, I don't know that's true. That's just what the translation was, or that's just this or that or the other thing. And if you notice, I very rarely say things are true. I bring them up and I say, this looks like it could be true. But you need to do your own evaluation, okay? And every one of you can do that. Every one of you can research things on the Internet. And again, when you're researching things, you have to look for what you're sure is true. Some of the stuff is not clear that it's true, or somebody will say it like it's true. And I observe things, and when I really think something's very, very highly substantiated, I will put it out to everybody. And not always, because, you know, I don't want to, when I started talking about Hillary, I got all these emails from people that were Hillary fans, and they thought I was being political. I was not being political on this. I'm not sure I endorse Trump. I mean, certainly not passionately, except for the reasons that he seems to be at some degree of independence from the negative. And I don't even know how that's possible, because they'll kill you if you don't do what they want you to do. But I'm hoping against hope that he can do something out of passion to make a difference on this planet. If you're following Hillary, and here I go, I'm going to get some emails. You know, just to give you a couple of examples, one thing, if just a couple of days ago, there was on the news how Hillary, they were lifting, Hillary was walking from some event into her limousine, and she actually fell over. And all the CIA around her had to prop her up, and she almost passed out, or perhaps she did, and put her in the limousine. There's no doubt that happened, okay? That really happened. Too many videos of it. And then 90 minutes later, you see Hillary coming out of her daughter's apartment building and waving and smiling like she was happy and not fatigued. And, you know, I saw that picture initially, and I said, there's something wrong here. And then you see her hugging. There's this little girl that ran up to her, and she gave her a hug. Well, later, they're reporting that Hillary had pneumonia. What is Hillary doing hugging a little girl when she has pneumonia? Why did she go to her daughter's apartment instead of to a hospital for as bad as she looked? But then, here's the deal. I said, this is there's something fishy here. The woman coming out of the daughter's apartment or coming out on the street and waving and cheery was not Hillary, okay? And I checked on YouTube because I said somebody's going to be taking that apart. And they were. The woman looked like Hillary very much, but her hair was different. Her earrings were different. She was 40 pounds lighter than Hillary, or 30 pounds lighter. And she walked out of this apartment complex with no security guards next to her. She was standing there in the middle of a crowd and no security guards standing next to her. And then they drove her off. So what's going on planet Earth? There is, if you talk about credibility, the news is absolutely the worst source, okay? At this point now, the internet and YouTube is better than anything you'll see on the news. And it's programmed. It's totally programmed. And if you watch it, it's okay to watch it. But even in the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, where the rock group was talking, they said, don't watch television. The media is like a circus programming you. And of course, there's many, 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 many things about Hillary, and it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with, from my view, that she has this ability to absolutely look charismatic and loving, and in the meantime, she is like totally behind the scenes plotting with absolutely no regard for the condition of humanity. She was Secretary of State. She was going in. She's responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths in Libya and in the Middle East. She's responsible for it. I mean, we've gone in and we bombed hundreds of thousands, killed hundreds of thousands of civilians. And in most cases, for no reason. And in every case, for every country that we've done that in, to make it safe for democracy, the conditions in that country have become so horrible that there's now hundreds of thousands of refugees that are leaving, fleeing those countries and going into Europe and then coming into this country. And we've created the environment for that to occur. Now, that's for certain true, and that is, you're not going to find that on the news. You're not. Terry, you want to say anything about this? Terry tracks this stuff. Terry, are you there?
I'm watching it all. I'm just watching it all. That's all I have to say is I'm watching everything.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll probably get all kinds of trouble for being political here. But I'm really not being political. I'm not. The facts around Hillary are too well documented. Too well documented, okay? And with her words coming out of her mouth, not third party saying what she said. You could hear the words. And you know what? I'm not endorsing Trump. You can still think Hillary is a better candidate. That's your choice. But you at least should know who she is and what she does. And I think it's very important to keep people informed about what's really going on our planet, at least some degree, at least to enough degree to provoke you to do your own research. I don't want to become a conspiracy theorist, because it's not a conspiracy in just too many cases. It's real. But it's one of the ways we're conditioned. The whole word conspiracy theorist is a conditioned word put into society so you can dismiss things as just somebody's opinion rather than true, okay? Like, one thing that was fairly shocking is on YouTube was, like, 15 years ago, there was the story of this 12-year-old woman that was brutally raped, disfigured, made in unable to conceive children, and horribly tortured. And she ended up, she was talking on the video about the experience, and there were pictures of her, how horribly disfigured she was. And her lawyer was a lawyer was representing the guy who did it, okay? And somehow she used legal shenanigans to get the guy off with, I think, a 2-month sentence. And the lawyer was Hillary Clinton. Go look it up. And she actually hear her making a comment about how clever she was to get this guy off. And I told this to somebody, and he said, well, she was just doing her job. That was her job. Lawyers are supposed to get people off. Well, you know what? I responded and said, that's what all Hitler's people were doing, who were taking people to the death camps. And this is even worse, because she could have turned down the job. What she did was she put a guy back on the street that was probably going to do something like that again and may not get caught the next time. And she was proud of herself for winning the case. And she had a choice, when she knew he was guilty, to not continue with that case. But she continued. Hitler's people probably didn't have a choice, because if they stopped doing their jobs, they may have been killed. Okay, so that's Wynn's rant for Wednesday. We didn't have a lot of questions for tonight, so I thought I'd take the opportunity. If we did, I wouldn't have talked so long. Because, you know, we all have the dilemma. We have our own personal evolution, and then we have our collective evolution. And the two are not totally different. The collective evolution affects your personal evolution, just as your personal evolution impacts the collective evolution. And when we talk about these things that are going on in the world, that is part of collective evolution. And if you're not aware of the truth of what's going on, if you're not aware of it, then not only are you going to support the wrong things, it's going to impact, sooner or later, your personal evolution. Because the collective evolution can totally stop the personal evolution, i.e. in the indication of a nuclear bomb. Because if you're in a nuclear bomb blast, and, you know, this has come from the rock group, it's come from our sources, if you're in the middle of a blast, your evolution stops, and it gets screwed up. Souls are fragmented. It's like a multi-dimensional explosion. And that's going to affect your personal evolution drastically. And if you ever think there's a chance of being in a blast, particularly if you're in a big city, and it looks like, I mean, if I know something, I'll tell people. But get out of the city. Find a way to go somewhere. And I hate to say that. I hate to, you know, none of us have enough money. And it's not easy to leave someplace that you've got secure, okay? But I'm just giving you, I believe that data is true. And some people, you know, it's possible that a nuclear weapon won't go off and that higher sources will block it. And I've asked the question, and they say in some cases, ETs have blocked it. And they haven't blocked it to help us. They've blocked it to help themselves. That's what our sources said. Because a nuclear... Well, oh, my God, am I talking too long? Jeez.
67. Yeah, I wanted to say just briefly, in the things that I've observed, we didn't bomb Libya and kill Gaddafi for no reason. We didn't bomb Iraq and kill Saddam for no reason. It was, I believe, follow the money. It was something to do with this. What they were setting up was they were getting off of American dollars for trade and trying to go on the gold standard. At least Gaddafi was. And so it was for no reason. It was not for no reason, but it was for the monetary reason. And Gaddafi had raised the standard of living of the people. He put in an underground water river so that people would have water. He was really upgrading his people, and his people in general loved him. He could be a nasty guy, but he was keeping the factions under control that were the terrorist factions. He was keeping them under control.
You know, the whole idea that Gaddafi was going around like a mad dictator that was propagated on us for many, many, many years, and even I fell for that. It's like there are Gaddafi, and you can look this up. You can see the videos. This is on YouTube, and I was amazed. Gaddafi was, if he was, he may have been a dictator, but he was one of the most benevolent people ever who led a country. He was making a lot of money from selling oil, and he was giving a huge amount back to the people. He was housing them. He was giving them medical. He was popular beyond belief. He would walk on the streets without bodyguards and wave from cars without bodyguards. And
the people would collect around and try and touch him.
The people wanted to touch
him.
The
people loved him.
He raised the standard of living. Libya had no national debt. They had a lot of money saved. Yeah. And so all this stuff about Gaddafi being a mad dictator was not true. I mean, maybe it was true. Maybe he was mad to do what he did, okay? But nonetheless, he was certainly benevolent. Let's get to the calls here, okay?
Okay.
Hive, are you there?
Yes.
Why don't you give BBS a call and see if we can go a little later, since I went on such a rant.
Okay,
Okay, and sometimes on Tuesdays we can, all right? And then at an opportune moment, come back and tell me, all right? Thank you. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. surround and protect Terry and myself and any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present on this line. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And while we have this energy, we just ask for it to surround planet Earth, surround all the people that are positive and reaching and want to make a difference, surround all of you who are listening right now for your own personal upliftment, protection, and safety. And I turn it over to our sources and let them give their introduction.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We see the goodness and the kindness in the people that collect together to bring peace, to bring help, to bring love, to bring a better situation, to put forth prayer that, and we take a moment and look at where these prayers spread out from a light within the heart and spread out across the globe. It is a light that shines through, and it's a cutting light that can penetrate and can bring peace and love unto itself. And we see that this is one of the connective aspects of society that bring survival, nurturing, and bring peace, and it ripples out and supplants the grasping for money and nurtures the people. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from Valerie in Livermore, California. She asks, why do I keep waking up around 3:30 a.m.? Not every night, but quite a few within the past month or so. It's not like I need to use the restroom at all. Very strange. Just two questions. That's the first one.
Thank you. Take a look. We take a look around the room or we see the facility, the nuclear facility at Livermore. And we see that there is an off-site thing for storage of toxic materials. And it creates radioactivity in the area. Pay attention. Get a pad and pencil and write down when you will go from sleeping to waking. What is it that you envision that you have in your mind, a vision. There's just something that comes in that doesn't have to be rational. Perhaps there is something that at that time of day starts up and you are in the field of its subconscious. It is not apparent, so it is subtle. So we look deeper. And we say for you, when you go to sleep, to ask that when you wake up, that you may know more and more and write with your pencil and pen. What are any pictures that you get in your mind? Do not let anything we have said have you put that as a projection. But totally clear your mind so that you are open towards what is going on at 3:30 in the morning that would bring you to wake up. Reset yourself to the simple openness. Do not have any data there. But when you wake up, see what the vision, what the thoughts are, and write them down and see if day after day you can hone this in better. Number one, see if you get any vision from anywhere and if it has a direction. If it has people in the vision, if it has a subject matter in the vision, see what little shreds of data you can bring in and write down. And do not let anything we have said take over your vision, but simply be open to what it is that has woken you up and report back to us. How's it going with this project?
Thank you.
Couple minutes past the hour.
Couple minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to ask what could somebody like Fred possibly bring some protective energies around Valerie that might help this experience she's having? Her next question is that she's tired, and she is her tiredness have anything to do with the dreams she's been having? I feel like the dream world is giving me a workout. Thank you.
Yes, when the dream world gives you a workout, it takes energy when the body could be repairing, and it does bring tiredness. Also, when you wake up at 3:30 or later, write down what it is that you've been dreaming. What do you remember? What shred of information do you remember about your dreams? And it will begin to produce a story that will begin to make sense to you.
Thank you. David in Grove City, Pennsylvania, what is an effective technique of moving my blocked energy?
First of all, it's locating exactly where the pain is and seeing if it is involved with the colon, with the area where the colon moves through the left side. seeing if it's involved with the lymph glands, getting an alternative doctor who uses alternative means to be able to give you information. If you get an alternative doctor that does not make sense to you, then keep looking for one. There are there is a clinic there. You may search for a clinic that may be able to give general colonics or and acupuncture treatments that will be able to align lymphatic lymph massages that can get the lymph flowing so that the area can begin to release.
Thank you. Next question. Sounds like Dave's question is from Ruzia in Toronto. Can the Elohim group, Ra group, advise us how to open ourselves up more, specifically to be open and receptive on these calls so that we can get the most out of them, and also to be able to open ourselves to communicate with our loved ones that have passed on? And, Rosia, I would say experiment. Experiment with different things. I know we're looking for this thing, sometimes the thing which is the most difficult to hear is the thing that is the exact thing that can push you through an energy block. And so see, go on limbs and see what can shift you. Okay, let me turn it over to our sources.